So it is again a privilege for me to be here with you today. I welcome you into the Lord's house. And of course, you all felt the wind last night and all of the things that were going on and how the Lord has spared us and kept us safe. And what a blessing it is to be a child of the Lord and to know that He is with us at all times. And as you may remember, for those of you that were here last week, that we talked about how one of the things that the Muslim people where we work in Fiji find so difficult to understand or comprehend is the Trinity. And in fact, they feel it's so ridiculous to worship three gods that they say that's why we don't want anything to do with Christianity. So as I thought about preparing for today, I thought what would be, or God directed me, obviously, to talk about the Trinity and to learn more about the Trinity so that I might be even better prepared for when we go back to Fiji in August, or in September, actually, to share with those people. So, as I studied about the Trinity, it was so wonderful to read what the Lord really is all about, is how God is one being with three persons included in that Trinity. And this verse in 2 Corinthians talks about Trinity. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And as you who've gone to church much will recognize that this is almost always used as the benediction or as the closing blessing upon the church when the service is over. So it may seem strange to be studying this verse at the beginning, but because it presents the three persons of the Trinity along with the roles or the parts that the Trinity play and each person of the Trinity perform in our life, I want us to learn more about that today. And it's been a huge blessing for me to study this. So let us open in prayer, and then we will begin. Our gracious Father in heaven, we thank you for protecting us even last night and for protecting the people, Lord, along the way. Thank you, Lord, for being with us this past week and for watching over us in every way and our families and our children and our grandchildren and our parents. Lord, your goodness is beyond our ability to even comprehend. And Lord, today as we study about the Trinity and this precious, precious Godhead, we pray that you will speak to each heart, speak to each one of us. Use me and my lips, Lord, to proclaim your glory and to be a worship to you, Father, this morning. And bless the people that are here and encourage them with your word and by your spirit, I pray. In Jesus' name we asked. Amen. This quote is by a man by the name of Nicky Cruz. Some of you may recognize that name. He was a man who started the Alpha course. And this is what he said, and it really challenged me. And he said, "Something has emerged in my walk with God that has become the most important element of my discipleship. It has become the thing that sustains me, that feeds me, that keeps me steady when I am shaky. I have come to see God, to know Him, to relate to Him as the three in one. God as Trinity. God as Father, Savior, and Holy Spirit. God has given me over the years a vision of Himself as three in one, and the ability to relate to God in that way is the single most important fact in my Christian growth." So when I read this and thought about it, I realized this is what I need. And just a bit more about Nicky Cruz. He was the founder of the Alpha Course, which many of you have probably taken. It's an 11-week course about the basics of the Christian life. God has enabled Nicky Cruz and his team to share the gospel with over 37 million people and still counting. That course is still going on. And 37 million people have heard the gospel. The same God is available to help you and me as we share the gospel with the lost in our community. I know that you all want to know God better, or you wouldn't be here today, right? And so I'm so thankful that you are, and I hope that as we go through our message today, that it will be a blessing and a challenge to you as well. Many of the thoughts and ideas that I present today do not originate with me. I can't take the credit for it. But they are primarily taken from the tracts that we give out to the Muslim people in Fiji and the book called Answering Muslims, that is written by Stephen Kurvila. And you can order that book if you want on Amazon. It's also available at the back. If you want to look through it before you order it, you're welcome to look through my copy. But please leave it there so that I can take it with me to Fiji when I go. Okay. So what I learned is that we will never understand everything about the Trinity as a human. God is far too big for us to understand everything there is to know about Him. But my hope is that through these thoughts, that it will cause you to want to know each person of the Trinity better. And that as a result, you will grow deeper in your relationship with God. And so the highlight is that a healthy relationship with each person of the Trinity is important for a deeper relationship with God. And number two, the question, how can we then have a healthy relationship with each person of the Trinity? What do we need to do? What do we need to learn in order to deepen our relationship with the Trinity? And our text today gives us one aspect of our relationship with each person of the Trinity. And so we're going to talk about this today. So we go back to the text, the main verse of our study today, which says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So as you can see, there's three persons in this verse that Paul is highlighting, namely the Lord Jesus Christ, number one. Number two is God, and we know God as the Father and the Holy Spirit. And so this is the Trinity. So let's focus now on embracing the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and embracing the love of God our Father, and embracing communion with the Holy Spirit. And I want to talk about how we can do that. So let's start by asking ourselves or learning what is grace. It says the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that word grace in Greek is charis. And charis means undeserved favor. And the undeserved favor of Jesus draws us to salvation. And it keeps us close to Him. And our worship team this morning, they wonderfully talked about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and of how He drew us to Himself and saved us and meets our needs and satisfies our thirst. And such a wonderful time of worship. Thank you for leading us in that. And also the undeserved favor of Jesus not only saves us and keeps us close to Him, but it deepens our walk with Him and encourages us to become more, with an E, like Him. So it's all about the undeserved favor of Almighty God that we have our salvation. And this verse in Ephesians chapter 2 talks about this as well. The same word where it says the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, this word here, for by grace are you saved. It's the same word that talking about. You have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which He prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So our good works are not a means of earning salvation. Our good works are simply something that God created us to do. And by His grace, He enables us to do it. So as we begin to understand salvation, we see that it is, yes, receiving the Lord Jesus as our Savior is the beginning, but it's just the beginning, because the walk that we have with Him for the rest of our life is continually fueled by the grace of Almighty God. Amen? And the Christian life is not one of always trying harder and working harder, even once we are saved. It's not a time of working harder, trying harder. It is a time and a life of resting in the undeserved favor of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we come to learn more about this, our faith grows stronger, and we come to enjoy our Christian life and to want to share it with others and see other people come to walk in it as well. This verse in Romans, see now, where am I? Somehow I got too far here. Yeah, so here we were. And so how do we embrace the undeserved favor of the Lord Jesus Christ? I have already mentioned this, I guess, but it starts with receiving the Lord Jesus as our Savior by faith. And then we accept the undeserved plan that God has for our life. As we think about the works that God prepared for us to do, they were prepared for us before the foundation of the world. It's not something that we figure out as we go along. It's something that God planned for you and me before he even saved us. He planned and he provided and he opened up works and deeds and ways that we could serve him. And back to our worship team this morning, how God knew before the foundation of the world that they would be here leading us in worship today. He created the opportunity for that to be able to happen so that when they were invited to do it, they were there to do it. And it's the same for you and me. God has prepared these opportunities, even like for us to go to Fiji and to tell Muslim people about the Lord. He provided that and opened it up and planned it so that it could happen. And all we need to do is when the time comes to say, yes, Lord, I'll go. And the same applies for you. I don't know your lives. I don't know what's going on in your heart and your life. But I do know that God has provided opportunities by his grace for you and me to serve him. And all that matters is that when it happens, we say, yes, Lord, I want to do that. Help me. And that's what the Christian life is like, isn't it? And so, as we embrace the undeserved favor of our God, we learn to our walk with him is strengthened, and our relationship with him is strengthened. As we think about that word, undeserved favor. We don't deserve to be saved, but we are. Amen? And this picture here, took it about, I don't know, a month or two ago. It's my two little grandchildren. And the little girl, as you can see, is giving her cousin a big hug, but he doesn't know what to do with that. He can't figure that out. What is this little girl hugging me for? And many times we don't understand the depth of the grace of God. And we don't know how to respond to it. And we may feel awkward. We may feel weird as we think about God's grace and how he loves us so much. And how we don't deserve it, but we have it anyway. And what we can do, though, is we can receive God's gift of salvation. We can accept the wonderful plan that he has for us wherever we are and whatever our age, whatever our nationality, we can serve him. And it's just really an amazing life the Lord has given us. And we, in fact, can even offer grace to the world around us, in the world that we live in our family, we can offer them undeserved grace. Why? Because God has given us undeserved grace, and we can simply pass it on to others. Amen? And so back to our text. We covered the grace or the undeserved favor of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Trinity. Now let's talk about the love of God in the Trinity. This Greek word, how to embrace the love of God our Father. So the Greek word for a father, for our father's love, is agape. Agape love is the highest and most selfless form of love. And that's all it is. It's just the most highest form of love. Agape love is unconditional. It is sacrificial. It is an action-oriented love that seeks the best for another person while expecting nothing back in return. That's the kind of love that our Heavenly Father has for us. And many of us may have struggled in our relationship with our father or with fathers we have known in this world, because fathers are human and they are not perfect. We are not perfect. But our Heavenly Father, He is perfect. And He cannot love us in an imperfect way. It's impossible for Him to not love us in a perfect way, even though our human fathers may have. And that's a big issue for some of us to get over. But there is a saying that goes like, it says, there is nothing we can do to make the Father love us more. And there is nothing we can do to make the Father love us less. His love is sacrificial. The Father doesn't limit His love for us because we're not worthy, or we're not a good boy or a good girl. He just loves us because that's His nature, and that's what He chose to do. His love is action-oriented. His love for us demands that He does what needs to be done in our life so that we will not go to the place of unending suffering. And so whatever He needs to do in our life, He will. He will do it, even though it may hurt at the time. He does it because He knows it's best. His love for us is absolutely unconditional. And so when we begin to understand that, we come into a new and deeper relationship with our Lord. Amen? And this verse in Romans tells us about that. God demonstrated His own love toward us here today and the world in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How amazing is that? He loved us long before we were even born, long before we ever started to love Him, long before, while we were still mocking Him and crucifying Him and rejecting Him, He loved us. And He continues to love us throughout our life. Many of us, we think, oh yeah, I understand God loved me before I came to Him. But then when we become Christians, then we are insecure in our in God's love. And we think we gotta earn it again. You ever feel that way? You know, that's just not where it's at. It's just not understanding the Father's love. It's that old human, earn it mentality that we're born with that gets into us again. Don't let it, when it comes, reject it and say, that's not what the Bible says. Right? And so this, if we do turn our back on Him and deny Him, He patiently waits for us to come back, just like the prodigal son's father. He waited for that son, even though that son had treated his father so disrespectfully. That father didn't stop loving his son, and he waited until he came back. And when he came back, he ran to him, kissed him, put a robe on his back and a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. He completely reinstated his son to his sonship. And that's what God does for you and for me, because his love is unconditional. And that's the Trinity, the Father in the Trinity. And this father, I'm proud to say he's my son, with my grandkids. I apologize for using these pictures, but when I think about Trinity, I can't help but think about family. There's just nothing closer than family. And so that's why those pictures. This son is up reading a Bible story and praying with his children, as we as parents should all try to do each day. And if we don't, God understands. Amen? But during the day, these children often do things that displease their father. I've seen it. But I know it doesn't cause daddy to love them any less. And I've also seen them do things that are really amazing for grandchildren to do. But you know what? It doesn't make daddy love them anymore, because he can't love them anymore. It's already maxed. His love is already over the top for his children. And God's love for you, God's love for you is already over the top. And there's nothing you can do to make him love you more than he does right now. And by the same token, there's nothing you can do to make him love you less. How comforting, how assuring, how strengthening, how empowering is that? And so, we embrace our Father's agape love by receiving it, by understanding that it's unconditional, by understanding that he paid the ultimate price of giving his son. It's been paid. He already did it. What we can do now, we can thank him for it. And we can allow his love to change our life. And like a flower opens up to the sun, we can open up to the love of God. Amen? That's how the Christian life that God has for us works. And we can also give unconditional love to others even when they don't deserve it. Who do you know today that doesn't deserve your love? God would say, I gave you unconditional love. Could you love them in the same way? Yeah. So back to our verse again. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the undeserved favor of our Lord Jesus Christ is ours. The unconditional love of God is ours, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. So what is this communion of the Holy Spirit all about? Make sure I'm in the right place here, because... Okay, next. Okay, I think I'm... Okay, I'm in the right place. Now, I want to turn this one. Okay, so how do we embrace, or what does it mean to have communion with the Holy Spirit? This word, communion, is in Greek koinonia, You probably heard it. I'm sure Pastor Dan has spoken many times about this word as well. Koinonia literally means participation. So it means that God wants, the Holy Spirit wants to participate with us. He wants to live with us. And because God is always good, He will only participate in a positive, in your life and mine, in a positive way. Holy Spirit will never participate with us to hurt us, will He? No, it'd be impossible for God to do that. Another word, it's also translated as fellowship, which means to communicate with us. He lives with us so He can participate in our life in a positive way. And this next verse that I want to show us talks more about the Holy Spirit's role in our life. You recognize this verse, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper. That's that the word para. Well, I'll tell you later what that word means next slide. But He will give you another helper that He may abide with you. So here Jesus is asking the Father to send another helper to the disciples. Why? Because Jesus is about to go back to be with His Father right here. And He doesn't want to leave His disciples alone. He's been with them. And now He's going, and He says, I'm going to leave you another helper who will abide with you forever. So, now they have the Holy Spirit who is going to be with them forever, each one of them individually. Each one of you, if you know the Lord as your Savior this morning, you have the Holy Spirit right inside of you. And, you know, I was just thinking, when I think of the Holy Spirit, I used to think of my heart, and I think of a little Holy Spirit inside of me. But you know what? That's not really accurate. The Holy Spirit is so big. He's so much bigger than I am. He's huge. And so when I... or you stand up for God, you're not standing up as one little tiny person with a little tiny Holy Spirit in you. No. We are standing up for God, basically. God is empowering us. We have nothing to be afraid of because God is so big. And that's the Holy Spirit. He's living inside of us. And it just is almost unbelievable for us as humans to be able to comprehend we're talking about here. The word for helper is parakletos, and we get our word paramedic from this same word. Okay. So someone called, someone summoned or called alongside to assist. And that's what the Holy Spirit is. He's waiting to be called to come and assist us. He's always there to help us. Yes, we need a counselor. We need a comforter. We need a helper in our times of need. And He is closer to us even than the air we breathe. That's our Holy Spirit, and that's how close He is. Something about His name, though, Helper, tells us that we must call on Him for help. And my sister said this to me the other day. Don't forget to ask God for your help as you're preparing that message. And little did she know, That's exactly what God was talking to me about as I was looking at this very thing. So thank you. But you know, I always kind of assumed as a Christian that the Holy Spirit was helping me all the time, right? But little did I realize He wants to be asked. He wants us to call on Him to help us. And I don't totally understand that, but it somehow creates in us, when we call on Him for help, a dependence on God that we don't have otherwise. Yeah, we just think, oh, He's just there beside me, huh? Great, you know, super. But it's more than that. We call on Him, be near me, Lord Jesus. Live through me, Lord Jesus. And of course, if we really believe He's there as a person, and He is a person, He wants us to talk to Him. He wants us to ask Him, Lord, what should I do with this situation? I have this problem. It's crazy. I can't figure it out. What do you want me to do? And then we listen. We listen as we're praying. We listen for His voice to tell us what to do. And He can do it. He's done it for me. And when He does, just walk forward in faith and allow Him to work through you. What a wonderful life as a Christian we have the privilege of living, eh? It's just too much for a dumb human to really understand. But it's true. So together with these two verses, we see that the Holy Spirit's role is to participate in our lives, and especially when we ask Him for help. And just like this little granddaughter of mine, last week I was reading the Daily Bread, and she came up to me and she said, "Tutu, what does this mean? I forget the question she asked, but she wanted to know something about the words I was saying." And so she came and asked me, and of course, I was only too happy to help her. And the Holy Spirit, when we ask Him, He's only too happy to help us. Could you imagine me saying, "Oh, Tahila, you're too young to understand this," or "This doesn't apply to you," or blah, blah, blah. But as Grandpa, same with Holy Spirit. He wants to help us. It's not that we have to drag it out of Him. And so we deepen our relationship with God as we embrace the three persons of the Trinity. Do you see that? Do you see how it's so much bigger when we think about the Trinity? And the role of each member of the Trinity. We embrace Jesus and His undeserved favor in every area of our life. When something really bad happens or seems like it's bad, let's remember, no, I have God's promise of unending favor in my life. So even though this thing may really seem bad right now, I know it's His favor, and He is going to bless because He can't do anything else. He doesn't want to hurt us. Amen? He wants to bless us. So that's one part of it. The next part is to embrace our Father and His unconditional love. in every area of our life. And so Satan liked to come along and whisper in our ear and say, oh, if there really was a God, he wouldn't let this happen to you, would he? What does the Bible say? And embrace the Holy Spirit and his unlimited participation or help in every area of your life and my life. No matter what we are asked to do, no matter what opportunity we are given, no matter what challenge is before us, he is standing there as big can be to help us. Amen? That's our Holy Spirit, and that's the start, anyway, of learning about the Trinity and learning about this blessing that we're reading about. May the undeserved favor of the Lord Jesus Christ be ours. May the unconditional love of the Father be ours and in our mind. And may the unlimited help of Almighty God go with us each step of the way. There's something I wanted to say more, but I guess that's... Oh, I know what it was. Yeah, I touched on it already. That we know God has given us his undeserved favor, right? It's ours. We have it. And once we have it and enjoy it, let's learn to pass it on to other people. People, even when they don't deserve it. And believe me, well, I know that you know, there's lots of people like that, that desperately need favor and friends and love. And when we have the unconditional love of God, our Father, let's not be afraid to pass on that unconditional love to others, even though they don't deserve it. And the same goes, embrace the Holy Spirit's unlimited participation or help. So anytime God gives you an opportunity to serve him or speak up for him, let's realize that we have his almighty power. It's not just us. It's Almighty God walking with us. Amen? And so, let me just pray. I know there was another verse for the benediction. But let's go with this as a benediction. Let's stand together. And then I'll close in prayer, if that's... So, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.